From Texas Public Radio, this is Texas Matters, a weekly radio news magazine that looks at the issues, events, and people in the Lone Star State. Today on Texas Matters, the showdown over Obamacare in Texas. U.S. Health and Human Services Secretary Kathleen Sebelius takes a trip to Texas to promote the Affordable Care Act.
These will be Texas plans sold on a Texas exchange.
But the Texas leadership isn't budging on Obamacare, and small business leaders say they don't want it.
Having Obamacare is the worst possible thing we can have as far as the job creators are concerned.
And who is policing the police in Houston? HPD officers have little reason to fear complaints from citizens and their fellow officers. This is Texas Matters from Texas Public Radio. I'm David Martin Davies. When it comes to the Affordable Care Act, Texas state officials are not interested, but they are interested in doing what they can to block Obamacare and stymie its rollout in the state. Just as Governor Rick Perry was intent on blocking the expansion of Medicaid in Texas, which he called a broken system. So when U.S. Health and Human Services Secretary Kathleen Sebelius came to San Antonio and Austin this week to publicize the October 1st launch of the sign-up for the online health insurance exchanges, Governor Rick Perry had some comments. In a statement from the governor's office, Perry said, as Secretary Sebelius brings her Obamacare promotion tour to Texas to try to convince our citizens that Obamacare really isn't as bad as we already know it is, I hope she can take some time to hear from Texans who will bear the brunt of this destructive legislation. The administration continues to glaze over the fundamental problems of the law, but Texans know better. They want Obamacare defunded and repealed. I am committed to working with my colleagues in the Congress to do just that. We can win this fight if the American people will stand up and demand it of their elected officials. While in San Antonio, Sebelius said her agency will be working directly with the city and other Texas cities to get the word out about the program and encouraging people to go online and sign up.
In San Antonio right now, there are education and outreach individuals being hired at every community health center that's here in the area. We have announced a partnership with the National Library Association, and a lot of libraries are stepping up to make not only resource librarians available for help, but computers in libraries available. We know that the Walgreens pharmacy chain has announced a partnership with Blue Cross and Blue Shield, and they will have outreach individuals in every Walgreens. CVS, again, a pharmacy chain, has announced their intention to have individuals. And next week, we will be announcing Navigator grants, people who will be hired by community groups, not only here in San Antonio, but in Austin and Dallas, and in communities who will be available one-on-one.
San Antonio Mayor Julian Castro said there are multiple reasons why cities should work with the White House on Obamacare.
We look forward to participating, both ensuring that information is available, hopefully at our libraries, and recreation centers and everywhere where families congregate and where they use city services. We also look forward to working with, I think, several or many nonprofits who will be doing outreach, as the Secretary described. It is important for the city organization because we have, I believe, tens of millions of dollars, for instance, of unpaid EMS fees because people take EMS and they don't have insurance. And then they end up not paying the bill. And so everyone, all the local taxpayers, are stuck with that. So as a city organization, we have both a financial interest and also just an interest in the health and well-being of the community to be a participant, an active participant in getting information out there. And we will.
I was able to discuss with Secretary Sebelius the Affordable Care Act rollout in Texas and the opposition that she's getting from Texas leadership.
Well, I started the morning in Austin and had a great meeting with a lot of healthcare providers organized by the Texas Hospital Association, and there were people representing hospital groups and insurance plans, the Nurses Association, some health advocacy folks, just talking about open enrollment beginning October 1st, what kind of outreach they could be engaged and involved in. We talked about the opportunities that are still available to Texas for possible Medicaid expansion, and most of the folks in the room had been very engaged and involved in that discussion. So they're very eager for more Texans to have health insurance and want to do anything they can to connect people to the programs. And then the mayor of Austin and the county judge had organized a second meeting with various community stakeholders, city and county governmental officials.
The state of Texas, you know, our political leaders, they're not helping promote Obamacare. Just the opposite. They don't want people to know about it. They don't want people to sign up on it because they have an opinion that Obamacare is not good for folks and for businesses. So how are you still trying to get the message out about Obamacare and about now's the time to start thinking about signing up, and many things will become active on January 1st if you've got the state leaders working against you?
Well, I think that while there hasn't been a lot of cooperation with state officials, there is a lot of enthusiasm and active help and support from a whole series of other officials and community leaders. So we have mayors throughout the state of Texas who are really engaged and involved and want to use their networks to get the word out to folks. We have members of the congressional delegation who voted for the bill in the first place, who are strongly supporting enrollment and education activities. Certainly a lot of county officials. Judge Jenkins in Dallas was with me. Judge Biscoe in Austin was with me. I'm about to go in. I'm sitting in San Antonio right now, about to go into a meeting with Mayor Castro, who has assembled a group of stakeholders, and I think his brother, Congressman Castro, is likely to be here along with a lot of officials here in San Antonio. So while the engagement may not be very robust at the state level, I'd say there are a lot of people in Texas who understand this is good for folks. Texas has one of the highest numbers of uninsured populations, hospitals. I was told today about 26% of the care delivered in hospitals is uncompensated care. There's nobody there to pay the bills. A lot of taxpayer dollars is going into support programs and services where they could easily have paying customers. So I think this is a kind of win-win situation. And even if the state has been resistant, we're hopeful that a lot of the local officials will be able to carry the day and get the word out to people who will really be benefited by these federal programs.
Texas also has one of the youngest populations in the country. You need young people to sign up for the health exchanges in order to broaden the pool, insurance pool, to make the math work. Is your message going to get to them?
Well, I think that is one of the challenges we're taking very seriously, how to communicate to the young and healthy populations, not only in Texas but around the country, who are often some of the highest number of uninsured and yet don't wake up every morning thinking about health insurance. So a very aggressive use of social media, Facebook and Twitter, using allies and supporters of the law who can reach young people, whether they be sports figures or rock and roll stars. We know that young adults listen to their mothers, so we're trying to make sure that women who often put their own health last but take care of their families get a message out to their own families about how important this is, and recognize that for the under 30 age group, there will be not only comprehensive coverage available as a choice, but catastrophic coverage at a very affordable price. So if people do not want a full package of health benefits, they'll have some options to look at that are very affordable, but will save them from potentially a lifetime of bankruptcy should something happen.
critics of Obamacare, like Texas Senator Ted Cruz and Texas Attorney General, who is running for governor, Greg Abbott, say that it is a drag on the economy and that it is driving premiums up. Is that true?
Well, I think, unfortunately, that's just flat out false. In the 3.5 years since the health care law was signed by the president, we have had the slowest increases in health spending really ever in history. So we've had a very low increase in private health insurance and employer-based health insurance. We've had public programs who are seeing record slow growth for Medicare expenditures. It's the slowest growth in the 50 years of the program. Medicaid nationwide saw a decrease per capita in the cost of the program. And the underlying healthcare costs are down for the first time in decades. So I think anyone who is suggesting somehow that the healthcare law has increased costs and increased premiums just hasn't paid a lot of attention to the historic trends and really is unaware of what has happened in the market prior to the bill being passed, which was that employers were dropping coverage. A lot of individuals who particularly were younger and healthier dropped coverage because they were seeing double-digit increases year in and year out. And we finally are going to have a competitive market in many places in the country where one or two companies were monopolies and people really had very little choice other than pay the skyrocketing health costs or drop out altogether.
The state of Texas says it will not enforce new health insurance reforms prescribed in the law. It's the decision that some say could lead to confusion over who's responsible for protecting Texas insurance consumers. Is that going to be a problem?
Well, I think it's a real problem. I'm a former insurance commissioner. I was elected in Kansas and did that job for 8 years. I headed the National Association of Insurance Commissioners, and what I can say is that, first of all, this law did not change insurance regulation at all. It still remains at the state level. States have a responsibility to make sure companies selling policies in their state are solvent, have enough money to pay the bills, to make sure that they are following market protection rules so consumers actually should get the benefits they paid for. I think it would be a real harm to the consumers of Texas if somehow the Texas regulators decided to renege on what has been their historic state responsibility, because the federal government didn't take over the market regulation. It's really up to Texas. And if somehow they refuse to protect their own consumers, we'll certainly stand behind consumers and try to provide that protection. But the state regulation is still very much in place. That's what the law says in Texas. These will be Texas plans sold on a Texas exchange, and I'm hoping that the insurance regulator continues to do the job that the Texas statutes around insurance regulation provide that they do.
Kathleen Sebelius is the U.S. Health and Human Services Secretary. She was in Texas this week to promote the rollout of the Affordable Care Act. Despite the fact that Obamacare is coming online, and there seems like there are few options for opponents to try to prevent that, it is still disliked by leaders in the business community. And to get that perspective on Obamacare, I spoke to the National Federation of Independent Business, Texas Executive Director Will Newton.
NFIB is a member-led organization, and we have 24,000 members here in Texas. Back when the Affordable Care Act was first being implemented or first passed, we actually surveyed our members. We have a ballot process, and I asked them if they wanted us to file suit in federal court to call the Affordable Care Act unconstitutional. And my response from the small business community in Texas, keep in mind that's over 24,000 small business owners, was 96.3% in favor of filing suit. And that's why we filed a lawsuit, the NFIB versus Sebelius.
Of course, the Supreme Court found the Affordable Care Act to be constitutional. But can you tell me a little bit more about what small business owners in Texas, what are they thinking?
Business owners right now are scared to death of what the implementation of the Affordable Care Act will mean to their business and their ability to stay in business. What this legislation now, law, has done is dramatically driven up the cost to small business owners and business owners who had been providing health insurance benefits to their employees are now faced with ever-escalating costs to their business and are likely to drop care or eliminate employees in order to afford it.
To me, it wouldn't be a good idea if businesses just got out of the health insurance business altogether and people just got their own health insurance?
That would probably make a lot more sense. You know, the employer-provided health insurance was begun back, I guess, in the 40s and 50s. Prior to that, people bought it on the individual market. And, you know, it just makes sense that people would have personal responsibility and take care of that themselves. But this has become, something that is just traditional in the United States that employers provide some coverage for their employees.
And it's not just the cost of you know, covering the employees and their families, but it's also the time and just the stress of picking out the plans.
Absolutely. And you know, I've talked to my members who hate it. I have one member that always calls me in October because that's the month he spends shopping his health plan for his employees. And he says it takes up his entire month trying to find the appropriate plan that fits the needs of his family and his employees. That's time wasted from production of, you know, providing the goods and services that the buying public wants.
So wouldn't having a sort of a single payer system or even having these health exchange online systems available to the population, isn't that a good thing for businesses?
Well, not necessarily. You have to consider from the employer side, there are mandates. And mandate is a four-letter word to employers. They hate the concept of the federal government or state government or local government telling them how they need to run their business. And the government, you know, big government philosophy of inserting itself in business activity will only harm business activity. It will kill job creation and, in many cases, force employers to shut their doors. You know, the one thing we really need to incentivize in the United States right now is job creation. We need to incentivize people hiring people to move the economy forward. Well, this mandate, along with all the other mandates, and there's thousands of them coming out of Washington and Austin that, you know, somehow are going to hamper our ability to create those jobs.
Austin is... It was run by the Rick Perry and friends. But Washington, D.C. and Obamacare, I guess we can't talk about, you know, expansion of Medicare. That's what some people want. But that's not the plan we have right now. And the plan we have right now is Obamacare. Mm-hmm. President Obama said they're going to delay the implementation of this requirement for businesses. Was that a good thing or a bad thing?
Well, it's a good thing in the short run, but that's something that needs to be expanded and extended. This is something that's just going to make it very difficult for employers to keep and retain those jobs.
Well, obviously, anytime the federal government comes up with an idea, it's not perfect. It's imperfect because of this, the process that it's got to go through. And then we try to refine it as things go along. But having a Congress that's just dead set on repeal and not try and actually trying to fix it, is that a frustration?
Well, don't get me wrong. The discussion on health care and health care reform was very necessary. And for the last 20 years, that has been the members of NFIB's number one problem and priority is finding affordable health care for themselves and their families and their employees. But the problem with the Affordable Care Act as passed only exacerbated a really bad situation. And for example, just taking one item, the one thing they could have done to help lower costs and make it more universally accessible was tort reform. Well, nowhere in there is tort reform addressed. So that's one thing they could have done and should have done, but was never even discussed.
Well, in Texas, of course, we have been very successful in having tort reform, and they pointed to Texas, at least the conservatives in Washington, D.C., as what to do. So we've already got that here.
Sure, absolutely, and it's wonderful, but it needs to be done on a national basis. You know, all the jobs are being created in Texas. You know, the so-called economic recovery, which is really not real, is based solely on the fact that all the jobs are being created here in Texas. And that's something that we as Texans should be proud of, but we also need, you know, the rest of the states and federal government to follow suit. You know, to follow the Texas model is something that you've heard over and over again. And if more states were to follow the Texas model, we could be out of this economic malaise we've been suffering under.
So Texas is creating jobs, and Texas has tort reform, and now Texas has Obamacare. Is that actually the best of both worlds?
Having Obamacare is the worst possible thing we can have as far as the job creators are concerned. Yeah, let me give you an example. I'm a small business owner, and I want to hire and retain the best employees to service my customers, right? Well, I know that if I'm not providing some kind of a health insurance benefit to my employees, I'm probably just training that employee for somebody else that does. So business owners want to be able to purchase health insurance for themselves and their employees so they can keep and retain those employees and not just train them for somebody else to benefit from. Because it's a lot more expensive to hire new people and train them than it is to keep them. Well, what the federal government should have done is act in some way to lower the cost of health insurance so that more people can afford it, so it's more affordable for the employers that are providing it. And that's the one thing that the federal government failed to do in this act.
You know, the Affordable Care Act, the philosophy behind it was originally a conservative philosophy about having these health exchanges and having an open market solution in that way, and creating insurance pools where small businesses and uninsured have access to insurance exchanges to take advantage of large group pricing benefits. I mean, that was originally a Republican idea, but by having the Republican Party not engage in trying to come up with and improve Obamacare, you know, you're not really having someone helping you make those arguments and make it work for small businesses.
And, you know, the part of the problem is everything coming out of Washington, and it's not just a Republican or Democrat issue. From our perspective, small business issues are not partisan issues, and we are not a partisan organization. But we need some real solutions to making health care more affordable, and unfortunately, the Affordable Care Act falls way short of that goal.
Will Newton is the Texas Executive Director for the National Federation of Independent Business. His organization is opposed to the Affordable Care Act. The Houston Police Department is the largest police force in Texas and one of the biggest in the nation. There are about 1,200 complaints filed against the officers there each year, but very few of them result in discipline measures. Why is that? In the July issue of the Texas Observer, reporter Emily Duprang uncovers her findings after spending a year looking into the self-policing practices of the Houston Police Department.
It's very hard to see how good a job they're doing because any complaint, whether it comes from another officer or internal affairs or a citizen, whoever makes the complaint, if they decide that it's not legitimate, that it didn't happen or it wasn't wrong, it disappears. There's no opportunity for review for someone outside of HPD. So in order to look at how they're doing, we can only look at complaints that they've already decided are legitimate, actually happened and are bad, which is very few of them. Only a third of them get sustained and end up having any kind of punishment at all. So the other two-thirds just cannot be reviewed by anyone outside of the department.
So about how many complaints are issued against the Houston Police Department a year?
The department receives an average of about 1,200 complaints a year. And the surprising thing is that 900 of those, on average, are from are internal. So they're from officers, other officers, or their superiors. And so that really sort of puts aside the claims that a lot of people make who say, well, people who complain on officers are just trying to improve their own case or get leniency or just trying to make trouble for officers. Because, you know, only about 300, only about a third of the complaints are from citizens, and two-thirds of them are from other officers.
So either the system is flawed in a way that it allows too many unnecessary frivolous complaints, or there is a improper system of actually following up on the complaints and being able to see which ones are actually have merit.
Right. Either officers are complaining on one another a lot, which seems unlikely, or there are a lot of legitimate complaints made by people who know what they're talking about that are going unsustained. Sustained is when they decide, like, yes, it happened and it was wrong and maybe we'll punish you for it. But even when a complaint is sustained, half of the time, of all the things that any officer ever does wrong that they decide really happened and was wrong, half the time the punishment is a written reprimand. And a written reprimand has almost no effect whatsoever on an officer's record. He can get a whole lot of written reprimands without that ever adding up to anything for him.
There was a high-profile videotape that came out of the Houston area showing Houston police officers beating up a suspect. Tell me about that.
That video was of Chad Holly. Chad Holly was 15. He was a high school sophomore. He was suspected of burglarizing a house. And the burglaries interrupted, and he ran on foot away from officers. And a business's security camera caught, just happens to see, the moment when Chad Holly runs, and then he comes up against the fence of this business, and a police car clips him, and he falls to the ground. He knows it's over. He knows he's not going any farther. He lies down on the ground. He puts his hands next to his head. And a dozen officers swarm him, and they kick him, and they stomp him, and they punch him for a while before they put cuffs on him. And even as they're putting cuffs on him, you know, another officer just comes in and just wallops him again. So footage of that only actually came out because the owner of the business tried to get HPD, tried to get the city of Houston to reimburse him for a gate that the officers broke while they were chasing Chad Holly, and they wouldn't do it. And so he said, fine, I'm turning over this videotape. So that became public. The seven were fired, and then three of them got their jobs back, and four were indicted.
And the suspect who was beaten, what happened to him?
He was adjudicated as a minor and found guilty of robbery. He was found not to have a weapon. And when these officers went to before the grand jury and ended up being indicted, the grand jury decided that, for example, this one officer that ended up going to trial, it looks like in the video that he's stomping on Chad Holly's hands, but the defense says, no, he was trying to lift up Chad Holly's hands using his foot. And so that was sort of the strength of the defense, but it was enough for the all-white jury that found him not guilty. But Chad Holly was found guilty of participating in the burglary.
Emily DePrang is a reporter for the Texas Observer. In the July issue, she writes about discipline problems in the Houston Police Department, and she has more revelations coming out in the September issue of the Texas Observer. That's it for this edition of Texas Matters. Thanks for listening. I'm David Martin Davies. If you like getting your emails, you can send them to texasmatters@tpr.org. You can also comment on our website at tpr.org. That's also where we have past Texas Matters posted online that you can listen to. And you can listen to us on iTunes and tune in again next week for another edition of Texas Matters from Texas Public Radio.